I do have a thought, but I want the Lord's will be done. Her thought, and it may take a little while. I really feel like it's something I need to slow down on. So can y'all have patience just a little while? Her thought is the perfect will of God. And the perfect will of God. I never caught on to that one before. I want to read just two or three scriptures and before we get to her thought, just to sort of, in Matthew chapter 7, 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So we know, I hope most of us know, everybody may not know, but what the will of the Father is. One of the places in chapter 6 of John, you'd find, "And this is the will," chapter 6 and verse 40, "and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last days." So it says right there plainly, that's his will, the Father's will, that we believeth on him. And then over in 2 Peter in chapter 3, it says, we won't go over and read that, but it says, "It's not the Father's will that any should perish, but all come to the repentance." So we know that's the will of the Father. It's the will of the Father is for you to be saved. But what I want to try to get at today, and we preached a couple of weeks ago about sanctification, and this will go along with that. And you say, "Well, we got enough of that a couple of weeks ago." I can't help it. This is what he's laid on my heart. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot talking about sanctification today, but I think it's still part of that. But I want to talk about the perfect will of the Father. And so, in Matthew 23 and 25, it says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites, for ye are likened unto the whitest sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful and outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and of iniquity." So we find here that he told them, he said, first you've got to clean up the inside for the outside can be clean. The world today is still trying to get that wrong. They're trying to live good enough that their outside would be clean, and then it might get into their inside. They'd have enough good works that it would get down into the inside and clean it up. But it won't work that way. And you have to go about it just like he said. You've got to clean the inside up, that the outside would be clean. But I want you to notice something there. He said also that the outside might be cleaned up. It ain't just his will for you to be saved. There's more to it than that. He wants more out of us than just that. And we want to talk about his perfect will. We're talking about something that really, really pleases him. Not just for you to be saved and say, "I'm going home someday." He wants to have honor and glory out of you in this life. Amen. And so, yes, it's his will that none should perish and all come to repentance. And it is the Father's will that you believe on his Son. But also, he wants more from us than that. And where are thoughts coming from? And we're going to read around different places. We might have to do quite a bit of reading. And I pray that I'll slow down just a little bit. I want you to get a hold of this today. As I've tried to study it on this and try to get a little hold of it myself, I know it's pleasing unto him that when we start, there's a change about us on the inside. I know that when he changes us, that pleases. There's rejoicing in heaven. The angels rejoice in heaven when somebody gets saved down here. But I also believe it pleases him that when we start showing and thinking a different way, we become, I believe when we get saved, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. But I also believe there should be a renewing on the outside. He should change the way we think about things. I believe that. And if you've never had a change about how you see things, I'd be a little concerned about that. Because when you're born again of God and you continue going down the same road you was going and you never, there's never no kind of change about you, then there's never no chastisement when you go out and do things you shouldn't do. I want you to realize he will bring that to your remembrance. And you will have to get forgiveness for that in this flesh. But then he will let that go. And then you need to let it go. And that's what Brother Kyle was talking about a while ago. You've got to let it go. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And listen to what it says, by the renewing of your mind, and that ye may prove that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And so he said, first, you're to be transformed. You're not to be conformed. And that's being just like. That's being just like you was before. That's being just like the world. And I want you to, whether you want to believe it or not, when you're as a child and you become lost, you was a part of the world. And and until you get saved by God's grace, and I know it's hard for you parents, it's hard for me to believe that and understand that. But listen, they're a part of the world. But when you get saved, you're not to continue in that, but you're to be transformed. They come out a few years ago with these toys, and they was called Transformers. And you could take and be pushing them like a car around on the floor. Next thing you know, you can fold it around a different way. It'd be a man, a robot or something like that. It transformed into something different. I want you to know, it might have been sometimes hard in my life to tell that I was ever saved. It might have been. But I want you to realize, if you've been saved by God's grace, it's his perfect will that you be transformed. And how are you transformed? It says by the renewing of your mind. So what's the renewing of your mind? I don't believe getting saved. I said this last week, and I hope everybody got that. I don't believe in it simply accepting Christ or just a change of mind. I don't believe that. But I believe once you are saved, there should be a change of mind. There should be a change in your thinking. And that is the perfect. Understand, it's just not the will of God. It's his perfect will. That's when he sees something that he's pleased with. And that happens, the transformation happens. It plainly says it. I'm not lying to you. It's the word of God. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so how do you renew your mind? I won't tell you what I have to do. I don't know about y'all. I have to change my way of thinking. The Bible tells us, and we'll probably read it here in a little while. It talks about not getting caught up in all the things. And we'll read it here in a little while. But basically not worrying. And honey, I don't know about y'all, but I need a renewing of my mind. I need a renewing of my mind. You may not. You may be living a perfect life and everything going good. But me, I have a hard time. I have a hard time keeping my mind on the things and focusing on the things it should be. My mind is easy to get worried and get concerned. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. There's nothing wrong with being concerned to a point that you pray about it. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong when you get some concern and all you do is sit around and worry and never do anything about it. I want you to know I can't fix, I can't add one stature, one inch to my height. There ain't a thing I can do about it. Worrying will not change anything. What will change things? A renewing of your mind and realizing God can take care of it when I can't. And that's the perfect will of Him, that you and I would be renewed in our mind. Y'all pray for us. I want to go over here. I don't know. I've tried to think about how do you go about this, that what order, and I don't know what order. Every week I mark places my Bible, I highlight places my Bible, I get up here and I think I know what I'm going to do, and it never goes that way. Never, ever. I think we're just studying to show ourselves approved unto God, but when we stand up here, we should follow God and just bring out what gives us and leave the rest of it all. But I do want to take my time today and read these scriptures where you'll hear them, because it is important that we do give Him what He deserves and the perfect will of God. And I want to do that. It may not mean nothing to you. Being saved may be enough for you. It may be. And honey, it's enough to get you to heaven. But I don't like living in this old world not knowing my Father is pleased with me. I want His perfect will to be done in my life. And the only way that can be done is me to change the way I see things. He really don't care if I can get a chainsaw going or not. I can spend a half a day out yonder fighting with that chainsaw, fooling with it and adjusting carburetors, putting different plugs in it and checking the compression. I believe if I pray about it, He'll help me with it. But I don't think that's His main concern for me to be concerned about. What He'd love for me to go out there in that chainsaw shop and work on a chainsaw and pray to Him and talk to Him and ask Him what You would have me in my life. Not just what I'm supposed to preach on Sunday, but God, what would You have in my life? What would You have me to do that my focus would be on Him and not just on myself and what's going on in my... That I'd be more worried about Teresa. That's what that preacher told us last Sunday night. If you remember when y'all got excited about it, I want you to know He told us when we did it unto the least of our brethren, we did it unto Him. When we're more worried about our brothers and sisters than we are ourselves. That is a changing of your, a renewing of your mind. Because every one of us is more concerned about what's going on in our little world than and not really concerned about nobody else's. Let's just get my house in order. Ain't that what we say? And it is good to get our house in order. But we should be spiritually enough that we can go help our brothers and sisters out when they need help too. And that's our problem today. All we are is concerned. We're concerned about our little church. We're concerned about our little home. And we ain't worried about nobody else. And we've got ourselves in a point to where we don't care about nobody else. And that ain't the perfect will of God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, we'll start reading. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each other esteem better than themselves. Listen. But in the lowness of mind, what are we talking about? A renewing of mind. In humility. In humility, when you get yourself, when you think of somebody else more than you think of yourself, if you esteem them, that means lift them up more than you do yourself. That is a renewing of your mind. That's a different way of thinking. That's not the way we're taught to think. We're taught to think from the time we're a child that we're to be try to do the best we can, and there's nothing wrong with having stuff. But in having stuff, if that's all you're concerned about, you're going to be self-willed in it. That's the truth. You can do with it what you want. But it said, but look every man on his own things, but every man, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now I want to stop right there a minute. You're talking about a renewing of your mind and changing the way you think. When you get to where you think about like Jesus thought, it said, let this mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. What was he talking about in that? He was talking about being humble, showing humility. And we're going to read that to you in just a second. When you get to the point, when you're show humility and you love your brothers and sisters more than you do yourself, when you're ready to leave the throne of God, you was talking about getting there. He was talking about leaving there. That's the difference in the mind I have and the mind he had. If we could get a grasp on that, then we could get a hold of the perfect will of God. When we get transformed to a place that he can be pleased with us. Let's let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Which was in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You say, well, how's that humility? He was equal with God. He is God. Amen. But listen, what it goes on to say is, we always leave off from right there. But listen, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as man, humbled himself, become obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. This is the perfect will of God. When your mind, when you get this mind, I want you to know if you want to be exalted, honey, you humble yourself. And that's what it's saying. He exalted him. Why? Because he humbled himself. You've got to be humble to be lifted up. Amen. He exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. And I want you to know he's given a name to his church. The Baptist people is a name above every name. But honey, how we come about that? We've come about it through humility, by looking at others and serving others. When you love your brothers more than you do yourself. When you're willing to lay down your life for your neighbor and for your brother and sister. When you're not so worried about the things you've got, but what they got and maybe what they don't have. Look on the things of others. And when God blesses you with something, share it with them. This is a different mind. That ain't the mind that I was raised with. I'm just going to tell you. I was raised to get as much as I could and hold on to it the best I could. It takes a different mindset if you're going to please God. I've really debated on whether to read this or not. I don't want to confuse nobody. In Ephesians chapter 4, in 22, it says this, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He ain't just talking about me now. He's talking about everybody. And if you can't get a hold of that, you're going to have a hard time. Do you realize, I've said it like this and I'll say it again. I'm not the man I want to be. But but I'm not the man I used to be. It took a few years for what he changed on the inside to start spilling out and coming to the outside. But there come a time in my life that started coming out, that what he had cleaned up started coming out. And I believe in all my heart, the soul is the tree that can't bring forth corrupt fruit. I believe that. But honey, if you've got a good tree in you, eventually it's going to start coming out. And you're going to start cleaning on the outside. And that part is up to you. That's part of sanctification. You have to do that. You have to start having a changing of your mind, a renewing of your mind, and realizing serving God is more important than serving the world. Having been conformed from the world and being transformed, he told us plainly how that was done is by a renewing of what? Of your mind. And that's how you get to the perfect will of God. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I ain't going to get too far in that, but you can go over into Romans chapter 8, and we are to be spiritually minded. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, and created in righteousness and true holiness. But I want to go back there. I want you to get a hold of that. That it said, in being renewed in the spirit of your mind. We done talked about the renewing of the mind. It's saying once again to be renewed in your mind. And how's it saying to be done? That to be done, that ye put on the new man. The new man is what's been saved by God's grace. And that starts coming out. And how you do that is begin to follow after the Lord. One way is through baptism when you're saved by God's grace. That's showing, putting away what? The old man. It's a public showing of what God has done inside of you. It's showing the putting away of the old man and raising up what? The new man. Romans chapter 6. A lot of this is due with Romans. But he said, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. Listen. Which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. This is after he saved your soul. Then you begin to do what? You begin to put on the new man. You are a new creature when you're saved. Please don't get me wrong in this. But there should be a transformation in you. Not just your soul, but in your body. And that is the perfect will of God. That he'd be able to see a difference in you. And not only he could see it, but everybody else could see it. You shouldn't have to tell nobody you're a preacher. You shouldn't have to tell nobody you're a Christian. I wonder if I would have told this, but the other night, we went to Harper's. Like Harper's. I'm not advertising Harper's. I like it. I do. We was there, we got over there, and I blessed my food. I always bless my food. Some little woman comes running over there crying, and we in the middle of Harper's, and she said, pray with us. Can you pray with me? So she gets down her knees and be my wife. We pray with her, and she gets up crying, and she works there and starts telling us about what's going on in her life. For lo, here comes the man that owns the place. Comes and sits down with us. Goes and tells us about some things going on. He's crying. People are looking. Are these people over here crazy? They should see a difference in you. You shouldn't have to get up and announce that you're a preacher, that you've been saved by God's grace. They ought to see it in you. How does that happen? By the renewing of your mind, being transformed, not of this world, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed. Being made into something that somebody else can see it. I'd say, I want a part of that. I want to be a part of that. That's how a lot of us got it, ain't it? Because we saw people and we thought, I ain't got that. Wherefore, putting away, listen, here's some changing of mind. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. For we're members one another. Yep. This is one of the ways you have a renewing of your mind. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Every couple I counsel you and ask them back there, ask any of them, I tell them, if you get into a fight, don't you go to sleep with that. You get it worked out before you go to sleep, because one of you lay in there all night long and let that simmer. And I want you to know, and that's what, if you ever done that, I done it for 3 years one time. I got mad at a brother for 3 years. I'd go to bed at night and I whooped him, no telling how many times. I'm just being honest with you. I'm telling you the truth. I was so mad at that man. He took away from my family. He hurt my family. He had hurt me, and I had confidence in him. I'd go to bed with anger. And finally one night I was in yonder, laying yonder. I was whooping him good. And God said, it's not him, it's you. And I had a renewing of my mind. I began to pray and ask God to forgive me. Yeah. It was me going to bed with anger. He was home laying in his bed fast asleep. And I was destroying my relationship with my family and my neighbors and my God. Amen. Don't go to bed mad at somebody. If you get mad at them, you go fix it. You get it fixed. You go to them and tell them you got a problem. You get it worked out. But don't keep letting it simmer. It'll destroy you. You'll neither give place to the devil. Any of y'all have any problem with that one? I'll leave here this evening and I'll remember all y'all's faces, how you was looking at me, and the devil will say, boy, they thought you was wrong on that. You sure made a mess today. God can't even use you for nothing. Why can't you be like some of these other preachers? Why can't you slow down and explain things? Why can't you be this? Why can't you be that? And I'm just like, and that's least wheezed before I can get past all that. I'm just being honest with you. That's how he works on me. Don't give place to it when you recognize it's him. I know you folks love me. You've proved that over and over and over again. But he'll get my mind. He'll say they don't even like you at all. They ain't interested in nothing you got to say. Why do you even stand up in front of them? That's how he works. Yeah. But the renewing of your mind, you put away these things. Yeah. You don't get caught up in them. You say, God, please help me. Yeah. That's how you get them fixed. Amen. Yeah. Y'all may not have no trouble with him. Boy, I do. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor working with his hands. This is what it says here. What I told you a while ago, if you're blessed to get something, that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. When he gives you something, he's giving to you to be able to help your neighbors, to be able to help your brother and sister, not complain and murmur about it. If you give like that, you might as well just keep it in your pocket. Some man might say you hand it to him and think more of you. But I want you to go. God knows your heart. Amen. And when you give with a grievous heart, honey, it will not profit you nothing. I want you to know you'll stick your money in your bags and it'll have holes in it. Right. You'll never gain nothing. I told you it's going to take a while. I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth to the using of it, but which is good to the use of edifying. Have you talked about anybody lately? Have you run anybody down here lately? Have you tore down any church here lately? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Honey, it don't help people out there that don't believe when we're running their brother and sisters down. Yeah. It don't do no good. Matter of fact, it does David. So how do we fix it? By renewing our minds. Amen. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes have forgiven you. How did this all start? By the renew of the spirit in your mind. And we'll get one more, and I reckon I'll be done. Philippians chapter 4. So he's told us all the things to put out of our mind. And we're going to get into some of the things we should put in. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, this chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. In other words, that's what I was talking about a while ago. Don't worry about everything. It ain't saying don't go over here and stand on the back edge of this church on the roof and walk around just like you ain't got no concern for nothing. Being careful for nothing, that means don't be worried and it's concerned about everything to a point that you ain't no count to yourself, your family, or God, or nobody else. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let your quest be known unto God. Yes. That the peace of God passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what is the perfect will of God, there be any praise? Think on these things. So I'm going to go back and read my text, and I'm going to be done. Listen to it closely. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, this, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That he ain't asking nothing unreasonable. That is our reasonable service. That ye be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. What are you proving? What is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God? Amen. In one ear, out the other. You do with it what you want. I ain't controlled that no more. I used to think I could, but all I do, I can't control if this house is full. Mm-hmm. If some of the sheep choose to stay up there on the hill and do without today and not get fed,
amen.
I mean, I can't control that. All I can do is preach you the word of God and ask you, if there's been a change on the inside, shouldn't there be a change on the outside? And that happens through the renewing of how you think. How do you think? Do you think on those things I read to you a while ago? Is that the kind of things you think on about the good things? The things he told us to think on, the things that are good, the things that are holy, the things that profit. Or do we think on the things of this world? So it's the will of God for us to, none to perish, to all come to repentance. It's his will that we all believe on his son and have faith in him. And it's his will for us all to be saved. It's his will for you to be cleaned up on the outside. But he didn't say just leave that dish sitting yonder. I was out there the other day. I wasn't going to tell this because it's on me. I deep fry turkeys every year. I deep fried one. I'd put my pot there behind the shop and I forgot about it. It had that old oil in it. Oh, boy. I went and got that thing, and you talking about nasty. I just nearly went and bought one because it was nasty on the inside. It's just stunk. I mean, it was nasty. I poured that old oil out, and I thought, Lord, we'll never get this one cleaned up. I took it in there and set it on my wood stove and put some dish detergent in it, and I began to clean it. He cleaned you up just like that. I don't get nobody wrong with this. I stayed out there and I cleaned on that thing. I cleaned on it. I got her all cleaned up. I mean, she's spotless. I stick my nose down there. She even smelled good. That's what he wanted. He gets done with you. You even smell good to him. I mean, she was clean. I'd been out there, what, Sheila, 3 hours? I ain't kidding you. Working on the thing. I'd been a lot better off went to Walmart. But she come back out there 1.5 hours later, and guess what I was doing? I was cleaning on the outside. And she said, what difference does that make as long as it's clean on the inside? I said, I want when the people come out here and I'm cooking, I don't want them to think that it's nasty. Amen. I want them to see something. See, once it gets through cleaning your inside, there's no place to stop. We're responsible to clean on the outside where people can see something. That is the perfect will of God. So if you've been cleaned up and your dish is good on the inside, take a little time, work on the outside a while. It might look a little better than everybody else out there too. That's my thought. If we got a song, Brother Sean, we'll have a song. We'll have a handshake. I pray somebody. I've got the last 2 or 3 days, I've just had a ball out of this. And y'all may not have got nothing out of it, but I've enjoyed the study.
Amen.
I see where I need to do better.